This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the Ram Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation. Welcome to Episode 3 of No More Silence, Youth Leading the Charge, Part 2. The questions posed to educators in this episode were designed by high school students as part of their work in two youth-led advocacy programs, Fearless Writers, which we learned about in Episode 1, a social justice creative writing mentoring program, and RAM Empowerment Project, which we learned about in Episode 2, a youth-led violence prevention project. Today, we will be talking with Rhonda Jemison, who is the principal of Rogers High School, Jeanette Utter, and Bridget Smith, veteran teachers also at Rogers High School. To round out this group of experts, we will be speaking to Darion Watson, a mental health counselor with TACL, a school-based mental health program. Darion is also a graduate of Rogers High School. This group of experts will discuss the shifts they have seen in youth violence and ways they are creating youth-centered school cultures and help to develop youth civic leadership. My name is Heather Cleary. I'm a faculty member of the social work program at the University of Toledo, and I'm one of the founding members of Fearless Writers and an adult member of RAM Empowerment Project.
Hi, my name is Haider Al-Hajri, and I'm a senior at Rogers High School. On today's episode, part two of Youth Leading the Charge. High school students are interested in hearing from adults in their school community about changes they are seeing in youth violence and the ways in which high school educators choose to listen to youth voice and encourage youth leadership in serious matters like gun violence. We have with us today Rhonda Jemison, the new principal of Rogers High School. Principal Jemison, can you tell us a little about yourself and your experience in education that you think is important to the topic today?
Well, first, I want to thank you so much for having me here. I appreciate an opportunity to speak with you. My experience has been, this is year 32 in January. It's year 32 in education. I think it's year 27 as an administrator, and I have been in three different school districts. Most of my career has been in high school with a little four-year stint at elementary school for the last 4 years. So my experience with all of this, youth empowerment, that type of thing, is it comes from my work within the school of doing things, helping to set policies, helping to review discipline plans, working with student groups to start things, for instance, like the LGBTQ community club that we started when I was in another school district. It is listening to students for all these years and making sure that I'm helping them to be the most authentic people that they can be, and that I'm a safe place, an open space, and someone who's a great supporter of efforts of students. So it just comes from my years of experience of doing that in every environment that I've been in.
What are your main concerns as a principal?
That's a great question. You know, as a high school principal, my main concerns center around the well-being, safety, development of our students, not just academically, but socially, emotionally as well. What deeply concerns me are the systemic issues that impact our young people, violence being included in that, both in and out of school. There are a lot of things that our students have to deal with. You know, I don't want coming to school to be something that they are afraid of or concerned of. And I know that that is probably the number one concern for parents and for people in our community. I worry about them inside and outside of school, because what happens outside comes inside sometimes. And I worry about what they have to face. What are you thinking about when you're in math class and you're thinking about something that happened on your way to school or on the weekend that is related to violence or things that are not positive in your life. I'm also concerned about mental health resources, any kind of inequities that students have to deal with on a daily basis, ones that they're not even aware of. I'm concerned that they're not equipped to be in the world as it is now. And I think that our responsibility as educators is to make sure we don't forget those. We have to build a culture of respect, accountability, empowerment, so that they can not only succeed in school, but also grow into active, compassionate leaders, hopefully, in their community.
What are your plans to involve students in creating school culture?
So the way that we involve students in creating a school culture is absolutely essential, because it's their school, it is their community, and their future that we're building together. You know, I just joined the staff at Rogers this fall. So some questions that I asked right away is, how do we involve the students? And I've come up with quite a few ways that I want to get them involved. I started off by, I'm so happy about this. First staff meeting that we had, I asked the staff members, I said, tell me about the best human that you have in your classes that you've had, if it's a senior that you might have had 2 years ago. Tell me about a kid who you would leave your child with, or you would leave your grandchild with, if that was permissible in a school to do. And I said, give me the names of those students, that they're just great humans. And I gave them an opportunity right then, because, you know, sometimes you get back to your classroom, you get back to your day, we're leaving for the day from our meeting. And I said, sit there right now, think about that kid. You know who that kid is, maybe several, and email me their name right now. So what I did with those names is I created a principal's advisory team. And what I did is I met with those students. The best thing, I think, in empowering a student is letting them know they have power. So calling them down to the auditorium, those students, and I know there are many more students that we missed that are not there. I run into them every day. I know them. But with that group of students, there were 75 of them. I brought them to the auditorium, and I told them why they were there. I told them exactly why they were there. And the smiles and the look of surprise, all of those things, I think, helped to make the students feel empowered. They were like, wow. And they're like, who did that? Who said it? Who wanted me to do it? And I feel like giving them opportunities to give their opinions, share their thoughts, make me a safe space for them was important. And so from then on, I said, well, this is what I want to do. I want you to be my advisory council. I want you to tell me the things that you think are important, what you think we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what would you want to be engaged in school, what makes you want to come to school, what doesn't. And when I have opportunities, I want to start with this group. So what I do is I use that group often for a lot of different reasons that I'm sure we'll talk about later. But that is exactly what I think is important for getting students involved in creating the school culture that we're talking about. I think that they're so important.
How is youth voice important to a school culture?
So when we talk about youth voice, it's critical, just as we just discussed, it's critical because this is their world. They spend more awake hours at school in a day than they typically do anywhere else, home or anywhere else. It has to be a place where they're in charge of school culture. They're the ones that kind of get to define what it's like. When I got here, students were saying things like, you know, we don't like this, we don't like that, we want this, we want that. I remember specifically homecoming was coming up, and I was like, they were saying, we don't like what Spirit Week is about. We don't like it. We don't want to participate. And I said, well, hey, we're here right now together. We all agree that school spirit needs to be amped up, and we need more of it, and we need more energy of it. I said, so let's support what's there already, and then let's build upon that. We can always have another Spirit Week, but we want to be supportive of what is already in place at our school. So we were doing things like that. They are saying things to me like, we have our social emotional wellness group at school, staff members. come up with incentives for trying to get different student behaviors under control. They're doing an incentive right now, and the students were like, nobody wants it. They felt safe enough to come in my office and say, we don't want to do this. We don't want that. And I said, okay, well, we've identified the problem. What's the solution? And so they sat there and came up with three or four different ideas of what they wanted to work for. And I said, well, I'm not the decision maker in everything here at school. You might think it, but I'm not. So I put them in front of our social-emotional wellness people, and they share their ideas. We have to find out what it takes for us to help them to create the culture that they want, because we can't create it at all. We can't do it. Adults always think that they can do something, which we can't.
What is your vision for creating opportunities for students?
So yes, my vision for creating opportunities for our students is to make sure I just gather every resource that I possibly can. I meet with community partners weekly, sometimes daily, on things that we can do for our students. We want to make sure that we're always inconsiderate of their needs, internships and service projects and things that they can lead. I had a student come into my office just yesterday, and she wants to do this poetry club after school. I told her exactly what we need to do, how it needs to work, and we move forward. So I am open and ready to help students to create their own opportunities, right? Get that creative juice going, but also to put opportunities in front of them where they can be a part of their own growing, learning, leadership, all of those things.
What is the role of schools in preparing students to be responsible and civically engaged adults?
So our role in preparing students to be responsible and civically engaged, we are really working hard this year as a staff in the area of engagement. We are making sure that it's not just about being engaged in the classroom, which is what we focus all of our teacher team meetings on thus far. We're talking about school engagement, family engagement. We're working with partners in the community so that we can get our students the opportunities to be civically engaged.
What are you doing to elevate youth voice?
So what are we doing to elevate youth voices? Consulting with students on every aspect possible. For example, our Spirit Weeks, as we talked about earlier, the initiatives that we have, incentives, things that they want. I also met with students to find out, what do they want from our partners? We have people to come in all the time and they say, we want to do this for your school. And I'll say, well, I don't know if the students want you to do that for our school. We've got to talk about, what do they want? The example, they want to have a field day at the end of school, just like an old school field day, where we want to flip it into a family engagement event. But this came from our students, and I think it's just about asking them every time we have an opportunity to make decisions, taking in consideration our students.
What is your vision for students that are struggling to succeed?
So my vision for students who are struggling to succeed is for the adults to step up and do what they're supposed to do. And it's not just the school adults. It is the parents. We are missing that in our school. We miss it. It's not our school. We are absolutely not a unique situation. Our parents, our school, need to come together more to figure out why our students are struggling. Our school's a hub school, so we have lots of resources. We have mental health. We have actually a health center within our school. If you're sick, just kind of like any kind of outpatient place that you go to, you can go straight to our health center. We have before and after school food programs. We have clothing. We have a pantry. We have these things that are right inside of our school to help those that may be struggling. You know, I did a panel for our teachers on students, on student engagement. And I chose from my principal's advisory group. And those students really had strong opinions about student engagement and what teachers need to do and what they see. But what we also want to do is we want to do another panel with students that are struggling to see how they see it and how they can get the attention of their teachers by their teachers listening to what they are giving, what kind of information and input they're giving and feedback.
How does school spirit contribute to student wellness?
It's everything. If you have nothing to look forward to come to school, why do you want to come? School spirit can help so much with you're engaged, you're excited, you want to be there. that's going to change you from coming in and saying, I have nothing to look forward to. This is a dreadful place. We don't want students to come in that way. And that's why we work with students with school spirit. We had a couple failures, but we're working now. We were trying to do some spirit nights and some games. And then we found some challenges that students are having. Some students said, I don't get to come because I have to watch my baby sisters after school. I can't come. So we know that's a barrier for students, but we know that the more we provide for them and the more school spirit we have, it's only going to uplift our student population.
How can we prevent violence inside and outside of school?
So how we can prevent violence inside and outside of school is having our families be more engaged in our school. Let us know what's going on. Don't wait until the last minute. If you see your kid is being bullied at school, that's what you think. We shouldn't hear about that when you're all the way at your wit's end. You're done. You're like, I'm sick of this happening at school. We need to be able to know about things at the onset. We need a great communication plan and implementation for it so that people can come to us and say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. And we can get our mediation team involved. We can get other people involved to make sure that students feel safe inside of our school. And if we communicate things that are happening with our families as well, it's going to help to prevent more violence on the outside of school.
What should be done about guns?
What should be done about guns? If I had the answer to that, I don't think I would be in the land of normal working people. I would be some rich lady just kind of hanging out in Turks and Caicos, right? We have to educate our students more on guns and violence and the compassionate human part of it. I think that so many times the media has conditioned our students to just feel like it's a thing, like it's normal. It's normalized to see the things that are happening. After you watch a video so many times, you're completely numb to it. It doesn't even shock you like it did the first time. We need to bring some sort of education to our students to make them understand people's lives that are affected by violence. A mother that's a kid's been taken from them, a kid whose parent has been taken from them. Those kind of stories need to be shared more often and more globally so that people can understand that it's these are lives that we're talking about. And when they have that information and they can see it, maybe it will help each person to make different decisions when they are discussing and when they're in positions of conflict to maybe make a different choice.
Again, this is Haider Al-Hajri, and we're being joined by Dee Watson.
Hello, my name is Darion. For all you guys who don't know, yes, my name is Darion. I am a social worker. I'll be sharing my personal story as a former student at Rogers High School and as a social worker. And I do not represent the opinion of TACL or RFS.
What changes have you seen in school culture and student behavior over the years?
Interesting. So the changes that I've seen in school culture and student behavior over the past couple of years, as a student, there was a lot of pride in student involvement. And we had a lot of energy towards activities and after-school programs. And being at Rogers these past couple of years as a worker, I just noticed there's not a lot of student involvement. And the student morale is just at an all-time low.
How is youth voice important to a school culture, in your opinion?
Okay, so how is youth voice important to school culture? Through, I think, different programs, different student organizations. For example, Student Council. I think that is a great way that the students have illustrated their opinions and their concerns about school. And also the principal, I have seen her put together a collective group of like 60 to 70 students. And she kind of uses those students as the voice of the school. So I've seen their voice being pitched in many different ways, whether it's through the school administration, whether it's through city council or going to city council, voicing their opinions about things, or even the programs that people like Heather has brought to the school. Those type of programs to help kids express themselves through the Freeders Writers program, or just kind of putting together things where kids can actually just kind of illustrate the things that's going on in their community. So I think there's just been a lot of programs that have been put in place to hear kids' voices.
What do you see being done for students that are struggling to succeed? What improvements would you like to see to support struggling students? Can you give examples of what you have seen work over the years?
The things that I've seen been done for students that are struggling to succeed, I think the school has a lot of programs, after-school programs, tutoring services. There's a lot of programs out there that actually are here to help students succeed academically. The improvements I would like to see for struggling students is transportation. A lot of kids do not have access to transportation to get to after-school programs or field trips or such. And I think those things will help a lot with student involvement and actually give these students experiences to things outside of just their local areas.
How can we prevent violence inside and outside of school?
How can we prevent violence inside and outside of school? Kind of going back to my last point, I think having programs like after-school programs, transportation to those programs, whether it's at the University of Toledo, BG. As a former college student, we have a lot of public events. And I think having these kids have exposure to those things will kind of open up their mind to different things in their neighborhood that they can spend more time participating in.
What should be done about guns?
What should be done about guns? That is the most hardest question in the world. I think it depends. If we're in terms of the student body, I would say having events and programs, kind of going back to my last thing. If these kids have something to actually do and have a transportation and have access to transportation to actually do these things, that would kind of drift them away from those things. Understanding that, especially around Rogers High School, there has been some violence around the school area, sometimes within the school area, and I think a lot of these kids don't have access to mental health agencies, someone to talk to about these things to help de-escalate themselves from actually participating in certain activity.
In what ways are you listening to student voices to better understand youth concerns?
As a worker at the school, and I think I kind of get the thing that I am close to their age, so I get that a lot from teachers. I asked them. I literally asked them, what type of things would y'all want to see change at this school? And once they give me their opinion, I kind of follow up with that. I don't kind of run with that. I really want to be in your mind. What do you want to see at the school? Okay, Spirit Week is not fun. Okay, homecoming wasn't that fun. What did you want to see? What type of things do y'all like? And they talk to me about social media and TikTok. So they have different ways of expressing themselves, whether it's through art, social media, or just being verbal. I just kind of listen to that and I be intentional when I'm hearing the things that they're talking about. And I make sure I deliver that to the staff to make sure we're kind of hitting up on those things.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Utter, and I'm a teacher at Rogers High School. The answers I will be sharing with you today are my story as an experienced teacher within the district and do not represent the opinion of Toledo Public Schools. A little bit about myself and my experience in education. I have been teaching for 24 years. I'm a science teacher. All of those years have been at Rogers High School, so all of my teaching experience has been there. Some changes that I've seen in school culture and student behavior over the years. I think, you know, in the past, I can remember fights periodically, but mostly those fights happened outside of school. They weren't really during the school day. It seems now that it's mostly during the day and that they're sort of predetermined. The kids kind of plot and plan. They let others know that they're going to fight so that there can be videotapes, and then we spend the rest of the day watching the videotape. Youth voice, I think youth voice is important to school culture and the opinion. I mean, they are the largest population in any school, so they really do play a major role in the school culture and building that within the school just based on their numbers alone. So I think that their voice is an important thing in driving culture in the school, and it's important that we listen to them and that we find out where they are, what their needs are, and what they're feeling. Things that are done for students that are struggling to succeed, I think mostly
you know, we really focus on academics in the school, but, you know, and that's usually at the student or the parent request. I think we don't really take a big look at social struggles that the kids are dealing with, maybe because we're always focused on, you know, the education part. I do think that I would like to see built into the school time, you know, some way to build relationships, offer social issues to be discussed with students so that they know they have somewhere else they can go. How can we prevent violence inside and outside of school? So I do think that we need to teach tolerance and we need to teach self-worth. Most of the violence that I, you know, see is a result of someone who has insulted somebody on social media or someone who thinks they were insulted. And it's always about this perceived what you said about me on Facebook or Twitter or X or whatever it's called today. And so I think if we take care of that, I think that goes a long way, teaching those kids that, you know, it isn't all about, your whole world doesn't revolve around what that one post said about you. Outside of the school, I think that's a different story. I think we need to have a lot more safe spaces for kids to gather to be kids, community centers, spaces for them to be where they can just hang out, do homework, watch movie, play games, whatever it is, in a safe space. What should be done about guns? I'm not really sure that it's all just about guns as much as it is about the individuals who feel that that's their answer to problem solving. So I don't know what that fix is, but I think it's more than just guns. I think it's more than getting guns off the street. It's about teaching people better ways to solve their problems and their issues and not feeling like that has to be my answer whenever I'm angry or whenever I want to show, you know, someone who I am. In what ways am I listening to student voices to better understand youth concerns? You know, I hope that I have an open classroom where if students are struggling with something outside of school, I sort of, you know, if I can cue in on that by listening to a conversation, you know, I am always open to spending time in my classroom, letting them vent, you know, letting them struggle through. I try not to give advice, but I do try to question and try to guide them sort of, you know, well, what would you do or what could you do or why do you think that's happening? And, you know, just helping them work through something without saying, you know, you really should, because no teenager is going to listen to that. They just want to vent. They want somebody to hear them. And that's what I hope I do to be able to, you know, let them voice their concerns.
Hi, my name is Bridget Smith, and I'm an English teacher at Rogers High School. The answers I will be sharing with you today are my personal story as an experienced teacher within the district and do not represent the opinion of Toledo Public Schools. I've been a public school teacher for 26 years. I began by student teaching at Libby High School, then spent 8 years at the old Jones Junior High on Broadway and Western, and have spent the last 19 years at Rogers High School. Over those years, I've worked with many young people who've been affected by violence, either directly or through their association with family members or friends. Those students brought everything they were dealing with to school. Sometimes school was a safe place for them and just let them be kids, and sometimes because of things that were going on, they couldn't really be successful. School culture and student behavior have both changed over the years. When I began teaching, we didn't have many fights at school. We weren't afraid of students bringing weapons in, even though the building I worked at was considered rough or dangerous, mostly by people who'd never been in it. School was their safe space, and they respected it by leaving their issues in the neighborhood or at home. All the students came from the same neighborhoods and understood that they were all dealing with many of the same types of issues. School was more of an extension of their immediate community, and they showed a great deal of respect for that. Today, there's less of that feeling of belonging, less community. Students can kind of pick and choose what school they want to attend, and often they're traveling far away from their own personal neighborhoods to get there.
they don't always feel that same sense of responsibility and respect that they used to have. In terms of student behavior changes, the things I've noticed really revolve around motivation and accountability. Students don't have the same desire to do well. The intrinsic motivation is not there. If they don't do well or they fail to turn in an assignment, oh, it's no big deal. The natural consequence of failure doesn't seem to bother them anymore. Many students aren't held accountable for poor school performance at home, so it makes it difficult to get through to them the importance of learning for their future selves. Social media and technology show so many unrealistic lifestyles and present so much trivial information that they're consumed with things that just distract them from understanding how important basic skills like organization, punctuality, and follow-through are and will be as they get older. Youth voice is perhaps the most important element in school culture. If the students don't buy into the culture and see themselves reflected in the space around them, they don't feel that same motivation to succeed. Students need to feel that the school community is their community. Members of communities take care of each other. They feel responsibilities for one another. They feel the desire to be successful and to see other areas of their community succeed as well. When youth have a voice in a school culture, they begin to feel a sense of purpose, and with that, the accountability and motivation grow. While there's many great people who do try and help students who are struggling to succeed, there is absolutely not enough being done. Students today come to school with so many problems, and many teachers aren't equipped to deal with the kind of problems that we're facing. Most, if not all, students need more attention, individual time, and one-on-one time with invested adults. There aren't enough hours in a school day to be able to dig in to individual student stories, let alone get them connected to the resources that they need to make sure their basic levels are met. If basic levels aren't met, expecting them to care about and really want to succeed in the classroom is a struggle. I personally would love to see more trained personnel be involved with the school to get students the resources they need. Many students need counseling or mental health services, and getting them connected with those services can sometimes be really hard. Knowing who might need the services isn't always that easy either. I would like to see every student get assigned to an adult in the building who will check up on them regularly. I feel that if I had a group of students that I could talk with, make relationships with, and keep tabs on, I could do a better job of meeting some of their needs. We had a gentleman who worked with us through one of our school partners for quite some time who was great with some of our more difficult cases. One occasion, I had a student who opened up to me to let me know they hadn't had food in the house for several days. He'd been wearing the same clothes over and over and over again. He opened up because I stopped and asked him what was going on. I don't think he would have just come forward with that on his own. I could tell something had changed. His demeanor just wasn't the same as it had always been. I contacted the gentleman working in our building, and even though the young man was not on his official caseload, he was able to get some food quickly. We were able to acquire clothing for the young man, who was a little bit harder to fit than your average student. Sadly, this gentleman moved on from our work in our building because it gets so overwhelming, and one person can only do so much. If I hadn't asked that young kid what was going on, what he needed, he might not have said anything. As teachers, we kind of spend a good deal of time with our students, but we don't always have the specific individual time to make the deeper connections and ask the questions that really need to be asked. I feel if every person had that go-to person in the building, maybe that person would be able to more easily notice shifts and changes in their personality and more easily get the student connected to the resources that they need. Preventing violence inside of school has to start with a sense of community. We can hold weapons checks, but if a student really wants to bring something into school or start a violent altercation, they will. Taking away the need to bring a weapon or to start a fight makes more sense to me. I'm a big proponent of being proactive rather than reactive. Unfortunately, we always seem to be on the reactive side of things. Making a student feel that there's someone they can go to when they need help is essential. Maybe they won't have that need to start the fight. Maybe they can ask for help before it happens. Students have to feel safe and not just the good kids. We have to build relationships with the hard kids, the unapproachable kids. They're a part of our community too. And if they feel that they're an important part of the community, maybe they will respect it and the levels of violence can decrease. Outside of school, I'm honestly at a loss as to how to prevent violence. There have been years where we have lost students, a number of students, to violence, or students have been involved in violence and lost their own freedom. It just seems like they don't realize how serious their actions are at the time or the lasting impact that the loss and devastation of their actions can cause. Many students don't think guns are a big deal. They come from homes or families where that's the norm as opposed to the anomaly. I believe we have to have a change in gun culture, violence culture, for anything to really change outside of the school building. The answer to what should be done about guns would have to be something, some strong regulation or limit and access to people who have guns, but that assumes people who are going through legal channels to obtain their guns, and that's not always the case. Generally, if a student or somebody in the school community is having a gun, they didn't go to a gun store and get that. So it makes the battle really hard to fight. In order to better understand youth concerns, I try to make solid connections with my students. Creating a classroom environment that allows them to share their voice, express their concerns, and be honest with me and with each other is really important. I try to make a point to check in with students who seem weighed down. I try to incorporate lessons, readings, discussions that allow students to share their ideas and have those ideas validated. This can be through discussing, writing something down, creating something that allows their voice to be heard.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to our guests today, Rhonda Jemison, Jeanette Utter, Bridget Smith, and Darian Watson. Thank you to Haider Al-Harjri for leading the interviews and to Tina DeBoard for supporting this episode. Please join us for episode 4, Why Violence?, where we talk with youth advocates from RAM Empowerment Project about what they think contributes to youth violence and their thoughts on how peer groups influence exposure to violence. To find out more and listen to other episodes, visit wgte.org/nomoresilence. I'm Heather Cleary, and you have been listening to No More Silence.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.